All right, time now, folks. Say lunchtime, Doctor. Dr. Sophia Mohammed. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah. Hi, good afternoon, Bees. Good afternoon to all of our listeners tuned in to your Lunchtime Doctor. This is the program where we dissect those medical challenges, answer those hard questions, identify the red flags, when to make those crucial next steps. But of course, we encourage you to share what's on your lunchtime plate. Tell us, what health habits have you been learning from this program? And more importantly, what are you actioning and sharing with your community? Remember, we're here on a mission to make Trinidad and Tobago a healthier, happier place. Today's program, as you've heard, is indeed sponsored by Superfarm, but we're also going to be sharing some other health tips across the program and, of course, bringing in your questions. So Bees is going to share those numbers again, and let's get this program on the road.
All right, folks, of course, our numbers are 627-3223, 625-2257, and our WhatsApp number is 1065. Let's say good morning, and of course, our heart goes out to anyone who has been inconvenienced by the weather we had this morning. I know just the other day our topic was, with the flooding and the flood waters and stuff, you know?
And you know what's so important, Bees, is that there, unfortunately, during this heavy rains, persons may not only have to walk through it, there is loss of livelihood if their farm stock are affected. And there is, again, so many incidents of flooding in homes. So please, we want to advise caution. If you have to walk through any floodwaters, be mindful of what the floodwaters can do. If it's just the rainy weather, just be careful of your steps, because there can be falls, missteps that lead to fractures. All of this, unfortunately, happens in this kind of dreary, rainy weather. So please be careful.
All right, let's get our first call for the afternoon. Hello, caller. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Hello. Afternoon, Doctor. What could be the problem if, like, sometimes your urine is sort of cloudy?
Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for asking that. And I'm glad you're asking some along the lines of different colors and changes with the urine. Because just yesterday we were talking about how diabetes affects the renal function. So it's very much in that vein. It could be related to diabetes. It could be related to hypertension. The urine gets cloudy when there's an excess amount of either proteins or infiltrates within the urine. It could even be bacterial in nature. It's a sign that we need to be mindful of and not take it lightly. What is your next steps? We need to do a urine dipstick in particular, where we check the amount of proteins, we check the infiltrates in particular with the kidney, and we may move that on to a kidney test. So what we look at, the renal function test, which is a blood test, that will give us specific values on how the kidneys are functioning. So anytime you're seeing changes in the urine, yes, and you may be wondering, we're talking about urine and stool, those things affect our output. It's a good measure of how healthy you are. So looking at the changes in the urine and, of course, even changes in stool. So as the caller asked about a cloudy urine, I definitely want to follow up along the lines of seeing if your diabetes, your glucose metabolism is well managed and controlled, and of course, high blood pressure. Hypertension can affect the kidney functioning, so too can diabetes. Hope that answers your question.
All right, folks. Once again, the Lunchtime Doctor with the kind compliments of Superfarm, right? In-store Superfarm savings, your prescription of trust. Let's get a question here on our WhatsApp. What are the benefits of vitamins B1, and can everyone use it? Thank you.
Great question. Yes, incredible benefits of all of your vitamins, in particular your vitamin B. Those help support the immune system and, of course, also the gut metabolism. It does play a role in other functions in the body, the metabolic functions of the body. And yes, everyone can benefit from your vitamin B1. However, there are natural sources of your vitamin B from your green leafy vegetables, from salmon, from seafood. So you don't always need to take a nutrient or vitamin tablet itself. We encourage that if, however, one's appetite is down. So yes, host of health benefits such as vitamin B, B1 in particular. We encourage, of course, eating across your natural foods to get the source of these medications.
All right, 4627-3223 and 625-2257. Let's get another question, a question that was asked already. Probably the call listener did not hear it. Every morning I wake up with my fingers numb or my foot numb. Why is that?
That's okay. We get this question very often, and it's just a representation of how many people across Trinidad and Tobago experience numbness and this tingling. It really is in that epidemic type stages. Here's the underlying cause. The one that we see most frequently is indeed a diabetic neuropathy or hypertensive neuropathy. That numbness or tingling of the fingers mean there's some sort of nerve dysfunction. That nerve damage is directly related. The underlying cause can be indeed overwhelming or poor glucose management. So when there's a host of sugars circulating, it damages the nerve fibers, the nerve endings in particular. Similarly, high blood pressure can also do that. Now, while there are other causes, thyroid disease, autoimmune disease, neuromuscular dysfunction, nerve dysfunction, even one can have problems with the spinal cord, and there can be cervical spondylitis or any level spondylitis. All of that can affect the nerves. What we see most commonly here in Trinidad and Tobago for that numbness and tingling is indeed diabetes. So please get that checked out. Now, most of our diabetic patients, that's how they're diagnosed. That's what takes them to the doctor. They realize, but wait, something is a little off. And I want to encourage anyone who's experiencing that numbness and tingling, get it checked sooner rather than later, because it will only worsen that diabetic neuropathy. It is not reversible. If there's nerve damage, then the nerves will only continue to be more further damaged, and it may lead to loss of function. Now, can you possibly imagine driving and not being able to have the function of your hands or any activity? So let's please get that checked out sooner rather than later.
Let's get those calls. 627-3223, 625-2257. 40 minutes now after 12 o'clock. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello and good afternoon. Continue doing a good job, Doc. What I would like to know, right, in the medical field, you will know better, like an ultrasound machine, right? Do the regular doctors or whoever they're bringing in, I mean, we will know how accurate the test is or which institute should we go and who will have the best machine. Only in the medical field they will know what standard they work at, or if anybody pay attention to the standard or the accuracy of these machines. Alice Norfair?
Excellent question. Now, this is why it's so important to be recommended to go to either your ultrasound radiographer or to a particular institution. You won't be able to give a list of those institutions here on air. Your healthcare professional will give you that recommendation based on where they would have sent their clients or their patients. Yes, it is crucially important to not only have standardization, but to also have the ultrasound, the sonographers, your technical people to be well trained, because it is very much user dependent. In fact, we tend to not only have medical personnel trained in the ultrasound differentiation and reading of the different radiographs, but we also have different ultrasound sonographers continue to have their training, and there's a radiological association that also encourages continuous medical training. So you're very correct. There are teams that continue to ensure the standard and the quality is put in place, but that's why it should be recommended by a healthcare professional. Because if you do go to someone, let's just say, and this is what happens in Trinidad, something happens, they decide they're going to get someone just over the phone to recommend something and not be properly evaluated. Then they turn up to an institution, they may get a result, but that result may be by someone who's not fully trained or doesn't have a certain amount of experience or haven't done, say, at least 100 ultrasounds. Let's say it's fixing your car. You're certainly not going to send your car to be fixed or to be adjusted by one you don't have trust and know they have the experience with. So let's make sure you do the same exact thing for your health and your body. Hope that answers your question.
All right, doctor, what causes your legs and calves to cramp and it hurts like hell?
Oh my gosh, I do understand that. Just like we answered with the hands, similarly with the legs. But with the legs, it could most likely be, in addition to diabetes and high blood pressure, it can be sciatica. We have a lot of patients presenting with sciatica because of either pinched nerve or some sort of dysfunction at the level of the hip, or as some persons put on weight, there can be concerns with the nerves that run through different joints, and that worsens the sciatica pain. The sciatica pain, you'll feel it in the upper legs, more to the lateral aspect. It may worsen at night. It may feel like pain that's so debilitating it wakes you up at night. What do you do? First and foremost, let's get it checked out. Sometimes we may need to do an MRI just to look at the level of the spinal cord. If there's any traction, if there's any compression in particular, and if there's any nerve involvement, that pain will not go away just so. We need to have a level of understanding at a radiological level so we see exactly what's wrong. Another couple things that is done is that we may start physiotherapy. That eases the pain. We may put on different medications to help ease that nerve-specific pain. And, of course, anti-inflammatory if it is an inflammatory process happening. I understand that pain. Post-pregnancy, you know, they say pregnancy is one step in, one foot in the door. Post-pregnancy, there was so much complications, and most persons who would have gone through pregnancy, especially those who had a C-section, would also share those complications that happen. So please get it checked out. Hope that answers your question.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor. Hello, caller. Hello. All right, lost that one there. Well, let's go back to our WhatsApp. What causes bloated stomach? Thank you.
So we get quite a few questions along this bloated stomach. Thank you so much, caller, for sending in that one in particular. When one is experiencing that bloating, it tends to be, obviously, if one has had reflux. So you would see a bloated stomach associated to gastroesophageal reflux disease. Do you all know, listeners, that some foods or even drinks can cause that feeling of bloated, or you're feeling as if it's just that stuffiness? In fact, a fair amount of carbonated drinks can cause that bloated stomach. Even if one is chewing gum as well, that can cause a bloated stomach. What we encourage across the board, warm teas, ginger tea, peppermint tea, lavender tea, any one of those teas will certainly help. Even a little walk, stretching will help ease that bloating. You know, I've had patients tell me, Doc, I stretch and then I burp, 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 burp. Yes, that is science. Once you're stretching, you're moving the gut and you're putting different compressions on it. So yes, it certainly will help ease the bloating. Other things that will help ease that bloating is, let's try to put some fiber-based vegetables or fiber-based meals into the system. So your green leafy vegetables, your broccoli, your tomatoes, your carrots, sweet peppers, all of those things will indeed reduce the amount of bloating. keep in mind it may be related to reflux. So if it's reflux, you certainly want to treat the reflux. If it's a peptic ulcer, you also want to treat that. But I've given you quite a few things that you can do just at home to relieve that bloating. Hope that answers your question.
All right, let's try four phone lines again. 627-3223 and 625-2257. Once again, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. You're on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM, brought to you, of course, with the kind compliments of Superfarm. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Doctor. I'm the person that followed a low blood count last week.
Yes.
I went to my doctor, and she examined me, and I told her how I was feeling dizzy and all sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she put me on the paraglobin.
Good.
She also gave me a B12 injection.
Right.
And she said probably it's a little low, but don't worry about it. You will be okay if you take these things, right?
Right.
The paraglobin. So since I went by her last Wednesday, I talked to you Wednesday morning.
Yes.
On Wednesday, I went by her. And I'm feeling much better. I have no dizziness. And I think I'm okay now.
And that's just
111 this morning.
Yeah.
My pressure was 110 over 70. Is that good?
That is excellent. Now, Koala, these
yes.
are the reason why we have this program. That was just 1 week ago. And even
yes.
the tone in your voice, I definitely remember, even
yes.
the tone in your voice is different. I'm
Thank
glad
you.
You took the advice, you went, you took that one step further, because yes, I could be giving advice on this radio program, but it's really up to the callers and the persons that message
yes.
to take it one step further. And you realize it's just too simple little things that were started
yes,
and
yes.
1 week later you're feeling tremendously
better. Thank you so much for your advice and keep up the good work. Thanks so much.
You are most welcome.
All right, thank you there, caller. Hi, Dr. Mohammed. Greetings from Toronto. Can you shed some light on trigger finger? I'm 59 in great health. Thank you. And you have a large following in Toronto as well.
That is excellent to hear. Now, thank you so much for our following across in Canada. Here's what causes this trigger finger. We actually talked a little bit about carpal tunnel syndrome a little while ago, and it's very much similar. It's when those tendons within the hand, specifically around the index finger and the thumb, now becomes either inflamed or there's some sort of locking between the bending. So they may cause, you may present with that pain, that stiffness. That condition is actually called a tenosynovitis. That's what we call the trigger finger. How do we go about identifying it, or what are the real causes for it? Is when, like I said, those tendons, we've been using it, we're typing a lot, we're probably excessively at the computers, we're not taking the breaks that we talked about, and those tendons become inflamed. That inflammation swells and it now inhibits the actual actions of the hand. So it may even need to resort to surgical process. But before we do surgery, there can be a steroid injection directly into the tendons itself. So it's a corticosteroid injection that helps reduces the inflammatory process and gives some sort of ease to the trigger finger. But it can become more serious if treatment is not at the appropriate time. And if that pain and swelling worsens, we may need to go in and do surgery. So please get it checked out today. Engage in those exercises. To all of our listeners who are tuned in, one may think that we become so engrossed in our work, be it typing, be it writing, and I'm one of those who are at risk because I do a lot of editing and writing as well. And I have to take that time to mindfully take those breaks. So to the person who messaged in from Toronto, thank you so much. A big hello out to Toronto from Dr. Mohammed right here in Trinidad and Tobago.
Nice. Good morning, Doc. Why is it that in the morning when I wake up feeling tired and drained, but when the sun comes out, I always feel strong? Why?
Because there are changes, believe me, there are changes as we move through the day. The body at, say, 4 or 5 a.m. would have a different cortisol level, would have different neurochemicals released. But, and as you rightfully said, as the sun comes out, so it's not directly related to the sun, but it's more related to the 24-hour clock within our body. So as we progress through the day, around 6, 7 a.m., and it's very much timed in with our general activities. However, if you feel that way, you know, not full of energy, a little depreciated, a little under energy, then there's several things you can do. That is actually the best time to wake up and either do some sort of gratitude ritual, start an exercise, 10, 15 minutes out in the sun, yes, at the first thing in the morning, just as the sun is rising, start some meditation or take a little walk, any sort of exercise at that time, and you will see your energy levels boost. Believe me, it's you're not the only one experiencing that. And I do know, just like that other caller, 1 week from now, if you start your exercise at that time frame in the morning, you're going to call us and let us know that how you're feeling better and your energy levels are now restored. Hope that answers your question.
As you mentioned, exercising in the morning, Doc, when is the best time to exercise? Some people like it morning, midday, afternoon, evening.
So it really depends on how your system may work, because some persons would utilize the exercise period at the late, at the end of the day, to now put them in that state to go to rest. Some persons, however, get to condition their body as first thing in the morning and it boosts their adrenaline. I tend to recommend persons to have different types of exercise. So muscle building exercise, you want to do that in the morning because you want to be able to utilize the proteins throughout the body and, of course, allow the bodies to build. So that's first thing in the morning. But again, any time in the day you're doing the exercise, it will still bring the benefits. More importantly is the consistency of doing the exercise rather than the time of day. So different persons, different times. When I first started exercising, it took so much out of me to do it first thing in the morning that I only did it in the nighttime. Now, if I don't get my exercise in the morning, I feel slouched all through the day.
Nice, good advice. All right, 1228, folks, 627-3223, 625-2257. Of course, our WhatsApp messages, 306-1065. And feel free to message our other frequencies and they will send your questions right to us. Doc, concerning the granddaughter with the slow teething problem that we had yesterday.
Yes, elders like 18
tell
months.
Me, yeah, elders tell me when babies are given salt too early, it hardens the gum. Is this true? I can recall both parents doing such. Thanks.
No, that's not true. Don't worry about it. Old folks' tales, as they say. Don't worry about it. But if you're really concerned about your little one, not the tooth not erupting, go ahead. See a dentist. They will certainly examine the gum structure and be able to give you a better idea. Sometimes they may even need to do a little bit of an x-ray. There are indeed 3D x-rays that we can do now. There's a lot of innovation in pediatric dentistry that will certainly help that process. Hope that answers your question.
Right, here's another question I would ask yesterday and the caller did not hear it. I wanted to find out if there's a prescription drugs that can help with small cysts on the ovaries.
Yes. So we did answer that question and that's okay because we have a lot of people in Trinidad and Tobago with ovarian cysts, especially those that suffer with polycystic ovarian cysts. There are treatments that one can start, but it won't be you starting it. One, we need you to see a healthcare professional. They'll probably do an ultrasound, so we get to evaluate exactly not just the size of the cyst, but the number, where it is, and of course, it will be very much dependent on your menstrual cycle. So what I will tell you is start from today, most of your phones have the apps to even do and track your menstrual cycle. Note it because even during the course of the menstrual cycle, there can be normal sizes and those are not considered pathological. They will appear depending on the size and as you move through the cycle, it will reduce in size and return to normal. So start tracking your cycle. Do present to your your healthcare professional or your gynecologist. Yes, there are medications specifically hormonal treatment. So your OCPs, your oral contraceptive pills, that will help reduce the presence of the cysts. Hope that answers the question.
All right, good day, Doc. What causes a psoriasis and what can be done to reverse it? My friend had these marks all over her body, even her scalp.
Yeah. Psoriasis is one of those very debilitating skin diseases because it's a rash that doesn't look very pleasant, and it can be very itchy. So throughout the whole day, you're in discomfort. What causes it is that it can indeed be autoimmune in nature. And when I say autoimmune, there can be a genetic predisposition. It can even be from previous infections, cuts and burns. More importantly, what I want you to know is that there is significant treatment for psoriasis. Yes, as you mentioned, there can be psoriasis on the scalp. There can even be psoriasis on the nails. There can be psoriasis across the entire skin structure. So when do you see the doctor? Once you're feeling discomfort and pain, please see the doctor. Don't only be concerned with the appearance of how it looks. It also, you want to, the minute you start to see the psoriasis, present to the doctor. Why? Because there are specific treatments that can be started, from the direct topical treatments to the skin and systemic medications that one may integrate. Now, keep in mind, there are certain triggers that can now worsen the psoriasis. Do you all know, callers and listeners, that smoking, even secondhand smoke, can trigger or worsen a psoriasis? If you're on certain medications, some medications that one may use for high blood pressure can even worsen the presence of psoriasis. And as you know, some of our persons say, is the weather, is when it's raining, as feel my joints acting up. You're very correct, because cold weather can worsen psoriatic plaque. So please, in light of this information, present to the dermatologist in particular. Get it treated, like I said, both topical and systemic, even if it's on the scalp, but sooner rather than later. Hope that answers the question.
All right, Doc. If the creatinine level is elevated, is there any way to naturally lower it?
No. Anyone who has, I side there, because if your creatinine level, that's a very specific marker in the kidneys, is elevated, it means there's some level of kidney dysfunction. And I understand you want to find out what are the other ways naturally to lower it. We'll discuss that just now. But please, let's try to bring down that creatinine level by the medications that your healthcare professional will suggest, because the next steps, if that continues to be elevated, would mean dialysis. The ways that we keep the creatinine level down is to ensure, very importantly, your diabetes is well controlled and your blood pressures are well controlled. We want, those are the things that send up the creatinine values, specifically diabetic nephropathy. Now, when we talk about the nephropathy, just like we talked about diabetes can affect the nerves, diabetes can also affect the kidneys. So we need you to be consistent with your medications. We need you to have lower sugar inputs as much as possible. If one is at the level of kidney dysfunction, I become very aggressive in my treatment. And when I say aggressive, in the earlier stages, if you're pre-diabetic, I might give you a little bit of leeway with your diet and nutrition. But once there's kidney dysfunction, we advise keep the sugar values tight. Reduce your sugar input as much as possible. increase your hydration, because the kidney dysfunction will only worsen to the point of needing dialysis. And I don't know if there are any listeners out there who have had dialysis. It is absolutely not an easy process for both the patient and the family. So I hope that answers the question. Start today with managing your creatinine level. Hope that answers your question.
All right, folks, of course, 627-3223, 625-2257. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor with the kind compliments of Super Farm. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Doctor. Doctor, how harmful is poor digestion? How harmful is poor digestion? Thank you.
So thank you so much, caller. You know, we have these frequent callers and I recognize their voice all the time. Poor digestion can affect everything, every part of your metabolic structures. If you're not able to digest properly, then we're not going to be able to absorb all of those nutrients. So that sort of leads me into the importance of having your balanced meals. Now, one may think, and who's listening to me on lunchtime, may feel like, well, Doc, I am just so busy all day. The first meal I get to have is in the afternoon. What are you talking about with balanced meals? Please, you're going to be doing more injustice to your body if it's just one meal you're having throughout the day. Have those smaller snacks. Keep it healthy, of course, your fruits. You can even have your granolas, all those things throughout the day to make sure you are digesting well. Because, as the caller just asked, poor digestion will affect your nutrients, will affect your absorption, will affect your energy levels. It will affect every single metabolic function. Hope that answers the question.
All right, good day, Doc. Oh, let's take this call here. Hello, good afternoon.
A pleasant good afternoon, my lord. Chutney boy, how are you going?
Okay, Chutney man. Do you have a question for the doctor?
Yeah, boy, I have a problem with that. One of my little toe, boy. It's rubbing on my shoes and it keep burning me like, but you know, I check it. I cut the nails. I think the skin, and I don't know why that boning about, buddy.
Right. So it may be you're developing a spur, and the spur is a calcaneal deposit, either at some sort of bony prominence within the either your little toe, the bigger toe, or even within the heel, and that can be quite painful. So one.
Yeah, it's pain in me right when I'm rubbing on the shoes when I'm walking, or the boots when I'm walking, and.
Oh my gosh. So one, it may be difficult to switch out those shoes, but you certainly need to add probably a different level of padding socks, because it's now going to be worsened every time you're walking, right? You also want to check there are indeed their podiatrists who can take a look at your feet and of course identify if it's inflamed. The fact that you're talking about feeling pain means...
Yeah, but it have no kind of cut or anything, you know, it just hold rubbing on the side. It have, it, and I take the thing and I cut the nail. I don't cut nothing. It just burning me like when I rub on the boot. I don't know what the problem is, but I will have to check the doctor and see if there's
so
anything.
It certainly sounds like a calcaneal spur that's developing. Another thing I would want to get checked out is to make sure you're not developing gout. Gout can be the swelling of the joints, in particular the toes. It could even be the big toe or the little toes. That can be quite a lot of pain. So please take that next step and go and get it checked out.
Mm-hmm. All right, good day, doctor. It is 117, that's 117 over 74 in the morning, a good reading. And in the evening, it is lower than 100 for the blood pressure. Thanks.
So great question. To all those, you everyone know who is listening here, I encourage you all to know your BP, know your glucose, and of course, know your cholesterol. So your normal, that 117 on 74 is a great value. It is very much normal and acceptable. What we tend to say is textbook value is 120 on 80, but that could go plus or minus 5. So it can go under, as in 115, even down to 110, at the 75 or 70, all of that is acceptable. When we're becoming elevated now, I will accept up to 125, 85, but anything higher than that, 85 as the diastolic, is when I become very concerned. Now, the caller previously asked about creatinine, and one of the key things I forgot to mention, while we may not recognize alcohol and smoking can also directly impact upon the kidney function. So let's please make sure if you are someone suffering with kidney disease, and if you unfortunately indulge in alcohol and smoking, please try to limit those. I cannot begin to tell you how negatively alcohol and smoking impacts upon the kidney function, and it can worsen your diagnosis very quickly. So hope that answers the previous caller as well. And of course, a little reminder to all of our listeners.
All right, thank you. Hello, good afternoon, caller.
Hi, good afternoon, babe.
Yeah, man.
Dr. Mohammed, since today, hi again. Yeah, doc. Well, I just do a drug 4 miles every day, half at the uphill, and back down as normal. But what I want to ask, at my age 62, if it's dangerous, or I should, I'll do it twice a week. Like, I do it like Sunday, and I do it like Wednesday. So the other thing as well is that, something I wanted to ask you. Yes? But anyway, that's all the main thing for now. What I wanted to ask you, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Honey is healthy to use, if just take out like a teaspoon and sweeten tea and all that thing like that, like coffee and all this thing.
Right.
Yeah, for me, honey and all that thing.
So good questions, both of them. So to answer your first one, good job, caller. You doing 4 miles twice a week? I think you need to share with us your health tips. How are you maintaining that endurance? And to all of our listeners, he said he is 62. I want to ensure all of our callers hear that. Because you know what? We have a lot of people who are just sitting down at home on the couch. Very, very sedentary lifestyles. So you doing these 4 miles twice a week? Excellent. Even better that you're going uphill because you're improving your cardiac tolerance. With respect to the honey now, 1 teaspoon, sure, that's okay. But just be mindful of the amount, because some may say if you're having 4 cups of tea in the whole day, that's a little too much honey. So it's really about the amount you're having throughout the day. If you're diabetic, I'll tend to use less than a half full teaspoon. Use probably half or just a couple drops. Keep in mind, honey does have a high glycemic index. While it is as natural as possible, you still want to limit the amount if you're having it several times. But if it's 1 cup of coffee first thing in the morning or 1 cup of tea first thing in the morning, absolutely okay, because you're going to use out that sugars that you added to your body. Hope that answers the question.
All right, 627-3223, 625-2257 with the kind compliments of Super Farm. You are listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangi 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, Doctor, it's I again. Doctor, how beneficial is zinc in the human body? Thank you.
So thank you so much. I think we answered about zinc a few, either last week or week before. It is one of those essential nutrients that supports the immune system in particular. It also supports healing. And that's why for all of our diabetics, especially those who have diabetic feet, we ensure that micronutrient zinc is well managed in their body. And sometimes we even encourage them to supplement the zinc. But you can get zinc very easily in the foods that we eat. Your green leafy vegetables, spinach, you'll get a lot of zinc in there. Salmon, avocados are good sources of zinc. And while we know avocados does have a little level of cholesterol within it, again, everything in moderation. But host of health benefits for zinc, how important it is, crucially important. Hope that answers your question.
All right. Hello, good afternoon, caller. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Good day, doctor. My blood sugar was 188 mcdl on the 12th, and by the evening of the 13th of August, it was 220 mcdl.
Thank you so much for letting us know, and I want you to listen very carefully. Both values are considerably elevated. We actually want your blood sugar to be under 140 milligrams per deciliter as a random, that could mean just after your meal. But if it's a fasting blood sugar, then we want that to be under 100 milligrams per deciliter. So 220, even 188, but both of them are rather elevated. I hope you're on some medications. If you're not, please revisit your healthcare professional. Why I want you to get that under control, because just like we talked about early on, high circulating sugars can affect the nerves, can affect the kidneys, can affect the eyes, can affect the limbs. And all of that impacts negatively. It will cause pathologies. That 220 is worrisome. So please go today, go sooner rather than later to your healthcare professional.
All right, here's another reading here to check. Good morning. I check my blood pressure, 139 over 81. Is that good?
139 over 81. Great. Now the 139 is a little bit on the elevated side, especially for first thing in the morning. So we certainly want to bring that down a little bit. What I would suggest, you may not need medications just yet. Try to see if as you wake up, you start some sort of breathing, deep breathing, meditation, 5-10 minutes of exercise, just to be able to bring you to a place of relaxation. And then you can actually check the blood pressure back again. We want to bring that down to 120 on 80. Hope that answers your question.
All right. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, doctor. I just wanted to find out what causes the middle cereal artery to swell, and if that is considered as a brain tumor.
So, Cole, I didn't hear very clearly.
Yes, I'm going to a little muffle. Just move your mouth a little way away from the phone a little bit and you can speak.
Okay. I wanted to find out what causes the middle cereal artery in your brain to swell, and if that is considered a brain tumor.
Right. So what she talked about, what she asked specifically, is the cerebral artery. You see, within the brain, there's several arteries in particular. Now, it's not necessarily that it starts to swell. If it swells, it's because of something called an aneurysm, and that certainly needs to be checked out. But there are a host of things that can cause that MCA, the middle cerebral artery, to be affected. I hope that one thing that you're not going to be experiencing is a stroke. But if there is a thrombus or embolus deposited or lodged in the MCA, that's the typical reasons for when we have patients presenting with a stroke. So if there's any sort of dysfunction with the swelling of the middle cerebral artery, please, if your doctor has started medications, please continue and stay consistent, because that MCA is one of the most significant arteries supplying the entire brain. So we mentioned a little bit about an embolus that unfortunately can lead to a stroke. We mentioned something called an aneurysm. Quite often we see something called a perianeurysm, most often than not in the MCA. And it is so important that that be diagnosed and treated, because if an aneurysm ruptures in the brain, unfortunately, one, it may cause morbidity, as in loss of life. So please get that checked out. Manage your blood pressure. We don't want to have those risks and complications. Hope that answers your question.
All right, Doc. Let's just get into a little something that's been circulating. Remember, I sent it to you last evening. The information about a new COVID variant. It's called COVID Omicron XBB variant. They say it doesn't show any symptoms, no cough, no fever. There will only be joint pain, headache, neck pain, upper back pain, pneumonia, general loss of appetite. XBB, have you?
Yes, we certainly have. In London, there have been a number of cases. Mm-hmm. But again, it has not reached the stage or alarming numbers in terms of being even epidemic, far less for pandemic. While there will always be viruses, we certainly need to be cognizant of our hand hygiene, just as we was throughout COVID. Yeah. I want to just reassure all of our listeners, however, I'm not particularly worried about this spread in this one, while it isn't the Omicron, because we've now reached the point of understanding COVID, identifying the symptoms, and there are vaccinations for it. Keep in mind, however, if you fall in the high-risk group, as in if you're pregnant, if you're elderly, one with an autoimmune condition, then you still want to be mindful about this particular Omicron virus. It can indeed, just like previous with COVID-19, because there was the Omicron version, this one is a different strain of it, but because we have a better understanding of it, again, if you are the high risk, then please, you can continue to wear your mask. However, we have a better understanding and hold on how to manage COVID. So I'm not as worried as we were, say, 2 years ago when we didn't have the playbook on what to do with COVID-19. Of course, just like COVID surfaced, there can be other viruses that are always surfacing. We just saw Mpox surface, so we need to always be mindful. That's why I would rather stress on ensuring we support our immune system. Let's make sure we're taking care of our health. And the same advice that we constantly share right here on the program, eat well. Ensure you're supporting your immune system. Boost your immune system, strengthen it if need be. Engage in healthy activities. Stay away from your smoking, stay away from the alcohol drinking. But this particular warning that I've been seeing circulating is, again, I would say a little bit of misinformation, because it's not at the stage where it's in this highly contagious stage. It's just some numbers are indeed surfacing, but not at the levels of the previous COVID-19 viruses. Hope that answers the question.
Right, folks, 8 minutes away from 1 o'clock. Of course, you're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor with a kind compliments of Superfarm. More savings in store at Superfarm. Your prescription in trust. Go out to Superfarm and get some stuff to boost your immune system. Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bass, and salam alaikum to the doctor. Doc, I'm 66 years of age, and the only problem that I have is high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed, ever since I had taken the COVID-19 virus, I had to take Pfizer. And ever since I took that, I don't know, but my body is not the same. I just want to find out if it is that type of effect on our health. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So, alaikum assalam, answering your greeting. What I would want you to be mindful of is that preliminary high blood pressure. Here's what happened when a lot of persons took the vaccine. They were aware of what's happening with their health, but now they become a lot more cognizant of it. So they may have been recognizing their blood pressure was there, high blood pressure concerns were there, but not paying as much attention. I do want you to be mindful that high blood pressure, if it's not consistently managed, can trigger different complications. Yes, there are persons who did have some side effects with the vaccine, and I won't ever deny that, but it wasn't necessarily the Pfizer vaccine. It was those that were taken off the market completely. However, if you're feeling concerned about any side effects, it does not hurt to get it checked out. Please go do an echo, go do at least an ECG. Get that blood pressure sorted, because just having high blood pressure on the whole can certainly have negative impact on your entire body. I want to share a little bit of a story with one particular patient that caused me a lot of grief prior to taking the vaccine. This particular patient did indeed have a heart attack before. This particular patient had allergic reactions to medication, in particular aspirin, and was very concerned about taking this vaccine. So this particular patient is my mother. I've talked about her quite a few times. She did take the vaccine and she had absolutely no reaction to it and still continues to do her ECG, do her checkups, and did not have any negative impact by the vaccine on her cardiovascular system. Yes, the day she took the vaccine, her anxiety levels were a little through the roof and her blood pressure did escalate. So there is that link and we do know that. But I advise you that just called in, please get it checked out. If you're concerned, it wouldn't harm to just take that next step. Hope that answers your question.
All right. Greetings from the USA. What can I do for dizziness? It's not regular. Maybe once in a two-month period, it may last for about 3 hours and then subsides.
Now, when it comes to dizziness, that's one of those symptoms that we do not take lightly, because dizziness can easily lead to a fall. And after that fall, it can be a lot of detrimental effects. One, let's look at what triggers the dizziness. Anemia, a low blood count, can trigger dizziness. A thyroid dysfunction, hypothyroidism, can trigger dizziness. Your high blood pressures, even high glucose values, all of that can trigger dizziness. Even dysfunction within the middle ear, because that's what manages our balance. So it could even be a middle ear infection that can trigger dizziness. Either which way, please get it checked out. Well, let's make sure sooner rather than later, because you don't want to have any sort of ill effect of dizziness. In the moments when you start to feel it, however, that dizzy spell, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit in a comfortable space. I want you to try to ensure you're avoiding coffee or any sort of stimulants, because they can worsen the dizziness. And I want to make sure you're well hydrated. Once the dizziness have settled or subsided, then you can return to your regular daily activities. But keep in mind, there can be a host of things affecting your dizziness, from your hearing to even your vision can affect dizziness. So let's make sure we get it checked out, because it can lead to a number of complications.
All right. Hi, Doc. How does intermittent fasting affect your health? And is there any scientific evidence that it works?
Yes, there's a host of scientific evidence that it works, because essentially what you're doing is you're managing your calories. How can it affect your health? It can affect negatively if not well guided by a healthcare professional. It has had a host of health benefits, because you're looking at the amount you intake versus your output. Within the intermittent fasting period, then you're either eating during, say, a 12-hour period and not eating in other periods, and carefully managing that caloric intake. So it's really about looking at the overarching theory behind intermittent fasting versus just the intermittent fasting practice on the whole. Again, we want you to ensure that you're guided by a dietitian or healthcare professional, because one can take it too far and it can bring you to kidney dysfunction. Hope that answers the question.
All right, just about 2 more minutes. I'll squeeze in one quickly. Hi, doctor. I'm 51. I didn't get a cycle for 2 months. I got it this month. I feel warm at night. I have a fibroid. Do they melt away? What should I do?
So thank you so much for messaging in. This is a loaded question, because there's so much to discuss about it. So we're going to try to answer very quickly. At 51, you're definitely in that perimenopausal stage. And you've already shared a couple supporting evidence, as in you missed the cycle twice. And you're experiencing those body temperature changes. With respect to the fibroid now, that's very separate and apart from the perimenopausal symptoms. Please get that fibroid checked out, because if it's increasing in size, you can present with anemia. You can have that, can also impact upon the cycles. It can also impact upon your general health and well-being. Some fibroids become so enlarged that we need to surgically remove them. So please, let's get that checked out sooner rather than later.
All right, Doc, as we
so I think we're just about in the last minute of the program. As always, I am ever grateful to all of our callers. Today we had callers from Canada, from USA. So keep in mind to all of our Trinidad and Tobago callers, know you have supporters and friends and listeners across the world. Thank you not only to our callers and our listeners, but our sponsors that make this happen, and to the entire TBC team, and especially my co-host Base, for making sure all the pieces of the puzzle come together for you, our cherished listeners.
All right, folks, of course, you've been listening to The Lunchtime Doctor here on Vibes. Well, of course, Vibe City 105 FM, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sankey 106.1, and Sky 99.5. Do enjoy the rest of your day, rest of your weekend. And of course, we'll catch you next week, Monday, 12 noon, right here on The Lunchtime Doctor.